Hello, it is September 5th, 2017. You're looking live at Athens, Georgia. This is episode 660 of the Will Leach Experience Podcast on Sports on Earth. I am the aforementioned Will Leach. Thank you for spending part of your day with me. I hope you all had very enjoyable Labor Day weekends. I went to two college football games in the state of Georgia. I'll be writing about one, not the bigger one. I saw Georgia beat Appalachian State, but I will not be writing about that one. I will be writing about the first Georgia State game at the old Turner Field, now Georgia State Stadium. It was an absolutely fascinating experience. I encourage everyone to take the opportunity while you have the chance, and please read my piece on Sports on Earth about it later this week. However, college football takes a backseat, even though I'm going to South Bend this weekend. I don't know if I mentioned that. I'm going to South Bend, Indiana for Georgia Notre Dame this weekend, my first trip ever to the land of Rudy. I will be there, so that'll be fun, but I'll still be back in time to watch some NFL. NFL starts Thursday night. As I wrote about on SportsNet this week, it is a terrible sport that's getting worse and forces us all to make major moral compromises just to be able to watch it. Also, here are my Super Bowl predictions. Here, who is key? This is the NFL. This is what it does. It's terrible. Hard, a little hard to watch every year, and yet still, I'm looking forward to the first Sunday. I think like a lot of you are as well. And someone else looking forward to the first Sunday this week is our guest this week. It is Jason B. Hirshhorn. He's an NFL writer for Sports on Earth. He also can be found on Twitter at BY_JBH. He is also a fellow Illini. By a fellow Illini, I mean a fan of the 1-0 Illinois Fighting Illini. Drive to 6, well on its way. Anyway, we're going to preview. There's a big NFL preview this week. Very exciting times. As always, the music is by the Haraway Brothers. Please leave us a review on iTunes, all that sort of business. We have a lot of baseball stuff. I hope you enjoyed the Allison Footer show from Houston. She had a lot smarter things to say than I did on that. So I hope you enjoyed her show there. We'll be back with Allison. We've got some baseball playoffs coming up. But mostly, we're going to do our big division preview with Jason B. Hirshhorn right now. All right, I am here with Jason. Hello, sir. Thank you for taking the time to chat with me about this particularly insane NFL season. It is strange. There's always this idea that the NFL is a 365-day-a-year thing to cover. It feels like maybe a 400 to 500-day-a-week thing to cover this year. I wrote about this in kind of my big preview thing for the season. It's funny how like we've gone through it feels like we've gone through peak NFL and slightly down peak NFL. It's still oppressively, massively huge. You've been writing about, you've been doing this for a while now, and looking forward to the season. Is this a season? Is this, does anything jump out at you before we're going to go like through each division and each team? Anything jump out of you immediately as kind of like the major takeaways heading into the season?
I mean, the biggest one is that the New England Patriots still feel so far ahead of the pack that it does kind of have that sort of Warriors NBA feel to it. Maybe not that extreme, but they come in as the defending champs. They seem to have added more than any other team, and everything that could be going right for them pretty much has.
Yeah, it is funny how quickly, I mean, you know, not to realize like the Super Bowl again, but of course, halfway through the third quarter, it was, wow, this is the end. The Patriots have reached that point. They're too slow. The Falcons have just shown them how they've gotten complacent. Now they go on and they come back and win that game. And they do seem like light years better than everyone else. And not only that, but I think the proof is in the way that the rest of football treats them. Everyone is basically just shooting at New England. And that's pretty much what's happening. I guess we'll go ahead and start with the AFC East. I usually like to start in different places, but we're already talking about New England. My first question is, as I said, with the AFC East, basically for 20 years now, you've had New England and then everyone else in the division. We'll get to New England in a moment. Who is the second best team in this division, and how far away are they from the Patriots?
Well, the second best team in this division is Miami Dolphins, which is really more of a statement about the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets. But the Dolphins did make the playoffs a year ago. They have one of the better young head coaches in the NFL. And outside of the quarterback position, they do have a lot going well for them. But there's still such a tremendous gap between the Patriots and them. They're not competing for the division. They're just hoping to sneak in as a wild card.
And when it comes to New England, How obviously everything seemed to be heading forward to them. It's one of the great jokes, of course, is that they added stuff and it felt like this was almost the target year anyway, and they just won the Super Bowl last year. How much should you be worried about Edelman? I know that we saw a lot of guys that step up. This is not a team that's ever relied, even other than maybe Randy Moss, on one receiver. What do they have to fix, or what would they have to switch around to make sure that doesn't hurt them too badly?
Well, Edelman has been sort of their lead wideout, maybe not their lead pass catcher. That really has been Gronk since Gronk became an all-pro tight end. But Edelman does do a lot really well for them that I don't think he gets credit for. That said, this is a very efficient offense with a lot of good receivers. Danny Amendola is kind of the obvious guy to step into that role. He has a lot of physical similarities to Edelman, and he plays the game the same way. Chris Hogan has been tossed around in that regard. He's actually more of a deep threat receiver. He's more of an athletic guy that they use on the boundary, whereas Edelman plays a little more in the slot. But they have guys that can move around. And again, they also have Brandon Cooks, one of the better receivers in the league that they just added this offseason as though it was nothing. So even without Edelman, a guy who's been their lead receiver for some time, it doesn't seem like they're lacking for pass catchers.
The Jets just seem just flat out horrible in every way, which is weird because ordinarily when a team is as bad as the Jets are going to be, they're doing like what the 49ers are doing, or they're doing like what the Browns are doing. They're just like, screw it, we're starting over. But there's like a coach that's like fighting for his job, apparently, with this team. They seem like kind of easy to pass over. I'm always curious about the Bills. The Bills, I've family in Buffalo, so I always find myself like keeping a close eye on them. It's strange because I argued in the wake of the Cubs winning the World Series, there's probably no bigger, those poor sad sacks winning a championship thing than the Bills. And you would think they would do what the Cubs did, which basically just go all in and realize no matter what happens, we have to get this thing done. But the Bills have been neither horrible over the last 10 years, but also never like making the playoffs in the last 10 years. I always find it strange that Buffalo, for a team that seem more than perhaps any other in football, their fans deserve championships. It always feels like they're kind of comfortable being in that 6-10 to 9-7 range every year.
Yeah, they were 9-7 a year ago. That actually feels a little ambitious for this season. They don't really know what they're going to do at quarterback. Tyrod Taylor is the starter in name. There's some question as to whether he's actually going to play week one due to injury. And even if he does play, it does seem like he's going to be on a pretty short leash. They want to see what Nathan Peterman, the quarterback from Pittsburgh, can do. But it's kind of hard to evaluate him, too, because there aren't a lot of weapons around him. Jordan Matthews comes in now after a trade, and he's basically the de facto number one receiver. Zay Jones, second-round pick, a guy who could be very effective, but you know he's a young guy. He hasn't played in the NFL before. The offensive line's pretty good. And the running backs are still very talented with LeSean McCoy, but it's going to be an offense that is not going to put up a lot of points. They're just hoping to control the ball, eat up the clock, and keep their defense off the field.
Boy, that sounds really exciting. That sounds like, boy, they're really rewarding those fans for their years of loyalty to that team. Okay, let's go over the – I don't know if you've done your predictions anywhere, or if you've actually put them down, or if I'm scooping the nation on them. But I'm assuming you have the Patriots winning. Do you have any other playoff teams from this division?
If there's going to be a playoff team, it's going to be Miami. I right now feel like they are going to make it in, but it might be at like a 9-7 clip.
Okay. All right. So you have Miami as one of your wild card teams, and you got New England winning division. Okay, we'll go to the AFC North. It's funny, of all you talked earlier about how everyone wants the Patriots, and the Patriots are the team that that everyone's shooting for. And I think if you're someone that's like, I just want the Patriots taken down, if you're one of those people, I'm not one of those people. I'm running on Thursday how I have a secret soft spot for the Patriots. Don't tell anyone. But if you are one of those people, is your best option, at least in the AFC, Pittsburgh?
Yeah, absolutely. They are the team that, at least on paper, has the most going for it outside of New England. They're a team that has done this before with many of their key parts. And frankly, they're just one of the most exciting teams in football. So if you're looking for a team to root for in the AFC, not named the New England Patriots who can upset them, this is your choice.
And the rest of this division, it seems to be in a little bit of transition. In fact, if you look at these, if you were to tell me who's going to be better in 5 years, I feel kind of bad saying this, but I feel like the Browns are going to be in a better position than the Ravens. I don't think the Browns are ready this year, but you've seen a step forward with them. And Cincinnati, I know that there's always this idea that they're going to fall in the playoffs. They had a year backward last year. Lewis has been there forever. But if you kind of squint, you can see kind of an exciting offensive team here, can't you?
In Cincinnati, you can. They have revamped that receiving core. It's not just AJ Green. Tyler Boyd goes into his second year. He should be more productive. They added guys like John Ross, who walks in as one of the fastest players in the NFL, if not the fastest. So there's a lot of weapons to get excited about. The issue is that offensive line, which struggled at times last year, just lost its two best players. And we know with Andy Dalton, when he has pressure in his face, he's just not an effective quarterback, even though he can be very effective when he has a little more time. So that's my main concern with this Bengals offense and why I don't think they're going to end up being a playoff team. But they're a team that can upset some decent squads any Sunday.
How about Baltimore? I'm kind of tired of Baltimore, to be honest with you. Do you have them ahead of Cincinnati this year?
No, I don't. And I just really don't know what that team does well. I mean, you look at the offense. It's a ground attack that was hoping that Dixon was going to take the reins as the lead back. He's out for the season, so that's not happening. So it's going to be a combination of Terrence West, and we've seen that show before, and Danny Woodhead, who's coming off a major injury. The offensive line has some nice young pieces, and still Marshall Yanda, one of the best offensive linemen in the league. But I'm not sure that's a great unit, and I don't know who the lead receivers on this team are going to be. They've been hoping for a breakout from Breshad Perriman for years now. It's just probably not going to happen in the way that they see it. Mike Wallace is going to have to be a big part of this offense. That's just not a recipe for success.
And I do find the Browns kind of fascinating. They're still going to be bad again. I like the idea that they're so kind of smart with the salary cap that it actually made a little bit of sense for them to pay Brock Osweiler to play for the Broncos this year. When will we start seeing a little bit of the fruit of their compiling draft picks and kind of their unconventional approach to this? Do you think they're going in the right direction? Do you think we'll start to see some good news out of them? If not this year, maybe next year.
I really do like what they're doing. They're taking very smart risks. They're compiling assets. And I think maybe not early in the season, but by the end of the year, I think you'll see a competitive squad. So this is not a team that's going to compete for the playoffs, at least not in 2017. But I think by the time we get to November, and especially December, this is a squad that's going to be able to just win a game. I don't think they're going to be expected to lose every single time they suit up. And it's been a while since we said that about the Browns. So like you, I'm very excited about the future of this team. Even if it's not this year, I don't think we're that far off from this being an exciting squad.
Hey, good for them, man. They deserve it. They deserve it, for crying out loud. Okay, to the AFC. So you have Pittsburgh and no other playoff teams in this division, correct?
Correct. The Steelers are the only team that really has enough to expect a playoff berth, and they're so talented that they could, in fact, win the conference.
All right, so let's go to the AFC South. Obviously, for me, you know, the AFC South has not exactly been the most scintillating playoff performers over the last few years, if just because the quarterbacks keep getting hurt right before the season starts, or they're just bad all year. But the one team I think, wow, you know what? It would be fun to watch them in the playoffs in this division is Tennessee. They're like my hope for some enjoyment out of the AFC South. Am I wrong in that idea? I picked them to win this division. Am I too excited?
Well, if you're too excited, I am as well.
All right.
This is the team that, not just on paper, but in a lot of key positions, looks like it could be maybe this year's Oakland Raiders, you know, breaks a long playoff drought to become one of the more dangerous teams in the NFL, not just the AFC. Marcus Mariota played so well heading up to his injury last year. He's one of the more efficient quarterbacks, especially at his age. That offensive line is one of the best in the league, full stop. The receivers finally look like they've developed, and they've added Corey Davis, one of the best receivers in college football the last couple of years. That ground game is still ferocious with DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry. I just really like what they have in offense, and their defense is coming along too. This is not a one-sided team. So, yeah, in this division especially, because I do not think there's a lot of other talent there, I like them to win it.
I feel like the Texans are wishing on Watson. They just want someone that's exciting to play quarterback so much that I feel like they're getting maybe overexcited. Like, I like Watson. The guy's a playmaker. There's still not a lot of arm strength, and he's not always been the most accurate guy. But whatever. I mean, considering what they've been putting out of quarterback the last few years, I'm sure it's just exciting to see someone that can do anything. But it feels like they, for them to pass Tennessee or to kind of stay where they were last year, they need him to be Dak Prescott and then some.
I mean, they need that whole offense to be better. That's one of the best defenses in the league, and it was last year, even without J.J. Watt, who comes back presumably healthy and is going to make an impact. But that offense has been so pedestrian under Bill O'Brien, which is really surprising given what he had done in college and previously at New England. They need that offensive line to play better. They still don't have Dwayne Brown in camp. They're starting left tackle. DeAndre Hopkins is one of the best receivers in the league, but I'm not sure anyone else in that receiving core is really reliable. I mean, Will Fuller will get behind a secondary, but he'll drop a lot of those passes. And you know, we've seen that in other places like Sammy Coates. You know, you can get open, but if you can't catch the ball, it just doesn't matter. I think that this offense has the pieces to be good, especially if they do end up going with Deshaun Watson at some point. It doesn't seem, however, like that's going to come together in a short fashion. So I think this team is going to be competitive, but I don't think it's going to go to the playoffs.
I was listening to Will Brinson on the CBS NFL podcast, and I like Will a lot. And he's been kind of grousing for a long time about how the Colts have handled Andrew Luck. And he kind of joked that the Colts are a sleeper contender for the number one pick. Not to say that there's nothing there, but if Luck, who already is missing week one and ends up having more issues with that, the way they've kind of handled his injury situation, I don't think the Colts are necessarily going to be that bad, particularly if Luck comes back. But it does feel like the Colts have had Andrew Luck and they've pushed him back to come back and play when it would have been better to just let him rest and maybe get some of the surgeries he's kind of needed. Now you kind of get in the worst of both worlds. You're not getting the best Luck. You're kind of wasting Luck a little bit and you don't really have a lot to surround him with.
Yeah, they missed their best window for contention with Luck when he was on that rookie contract that was so cheap and he was playing at a high level. But they could still win one with him if they had the right supporting cast. Right now, that offensive line is still probably two, maybe even three players away from being a competent unit. The ground game is still relying on Frank Gore. And while Gore has been phenomenal throughout his 5,000 years in the NFL, he's just not a guy you want leading your backfield at this point. At least you don't want to rely on him going into the season. The receivers outside of T.Y. Hilton also very questionable, and they traded away a first-round pick just a couple of days ago, the New England Patriots. I just don't know what they're going to do with Luck there, let alone without him. Scott Tolzien or Jacoby Brissett are just not guys who are going to carry an offense, and the defense has even less going for it. So this is a unit that it's not going to end up with a number one overall pick in all likelihood, but it could end up getting a top 10 pick. That's not out of the question.
And then Jacksonville, it felt like if there were ever be a time they might be able to break through, it was last year. But Bortles has just become the Bortles that he is now. He feels like it's funny to think that there was a time where he was like a legit fantasy quarterback. Maybe you didn't really trust him, but certainly you felt like he'd get the offense going. Now it just seems kind of astounding that they're going into the season with him as a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, he might still be the GOAT of garbage time, but that's not going to help this team. They have the talent on defense, especially to make some noise, maybe even compete for a playoff spot, but they're so bad at quarterback. They're not even average. They're decidedly below average outside of maybe the New York Jets, the 49ers, teams like that. No one has a more questionable group of passers, and that's enough to sink the team. They're in a division that, while doesn't have a ton of talent, is good enough to take advantage of Blake Bortles.
All right, so you have, like me, you have Tennessee winning this division, and you don't have any other playoff teams in this division, correct?
Absolutely.
All right, so let me go to the AFC West, which to me, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, you probably do, you're a smart guy, and therefore you probably think like me. That's the way that all smart people do, I suppose, in my little imagination land. Here, AFC West seems to me, top to bottom, the most competitive division in the NFL. Do you agree with that? You think that's fair? All four? It doesn't look like there's one, like, obvious bad team in this division.
No, and one of these teams probably will end up with a really bad record. That's just the way these things work out. But, yeah, any one of these teams realistically could win that division. That's not to say that there aren't teams here that are good. A lot of times when you have a situation where any team can win it, it's because nobody's great. There are several teams here that can be, if not all of them.
Yeah, and we'll kind of start with the Raiders. They're in this kind of weird position in that they're playing at the Coliseum when they already said that they're leaving, and we'll see how that kind of plays out a little bit. But, you know, there was a stretch last year where you thought, when we, again, talking about the idea, who's the one that challenged the Patriots, who's the team that challenges the Patriots, there was a time where it looked like it was going to be the Raiders last year, of course, until Carr got hurt. If he stays healthy all year, are they at least, can you imagine them being near the level of a New England or a Pittsburgh?
They need more than just Carr staying healthy. The top end of that roster is about as good as any in the league. The issue is depth. And, you know, obviously if you lose your quarterback, things are not going to go well for you. There's very few teams that can ever afford to do that. But they can't really afford an injury at any of their major positions. But if they do manage to, yeah, this is a team that can be extremely competitive. Their offensive line remains very, very good, especially in pass protection. Those receivers can be absolutely deadly. Carr's great when he has the protection. And we haven't talked about Marshawn Lynch, the X factor in this entire discussion.
So Kansas City, a team, it's funny, I wrote a piece for Sports North before their playoff game last year, for this is the moment. Like, the Chiefs have been so frustrated come playoff time. Everything is set up for them this year, and it didn't work out for them. This still team still has a lot of talent. Now there's some questions at quarterback. Maybe Mahomes comes in and takes over that job at least at some point this year. Do you think last year was the peak for Kansas City, or can they get there again?
I think they could be better this year. And it's not necessarily because of the additions they've made. It's sort of the players that they have coming back healthy. Justin Houston has not been really that healthy since he signed that big extension, but he is healthy right now. And when he's right, outside of J.J. Watt and Von Miller, he's probably the most effective edge rusher in the league. When they have that defense going with the pass rush, especially with that secondary, Marcus Peters is such a ball hawk, maybe the best in that regard in the entire league, they can be deadly. And it's kind of weird how that offense is starting to remind me of that 2012 San Francisco 49ers team, which also had Alex Smith at the head, where you felt like it could be effective, but maybe Smith wasn't quite the right guy. And then at some point, middle of the year, they bring someone else in and then just catches fire. I don't know if they're going to do that with Mahomes. They seem pretty against the idea right now. But the 49ers were against bringing in Kaepernick midway through the year until the injury forced their hand. So there's a situation where Mahomes comes in, this offense becomes the best version of the Andy Reid West Coast offense, and the defense is deadly, and it becomes the best team in the division, full stop.
Denver, it's funny, for all, think of Osweiler and then Manning at the end, this still feels like a team, they don't, we've talked about how, like, the Rams, for example, may have, we'll see how Goff ends up doing, but the Rams may have really messed up the kind of contention curve or kind of their competitive curve by picking the wrong quarterback. We don't really talk about Denver doing that much, but that if they are really starting Trevor freaking Siemian as a fellow Illini guy, that guy stunk when he was in Northwestern. I know he's a better quarterback now, but to me, even with the defense stuff they have, that they're at the worst quarterback position in the division by a pretty dramatic amount.
Yeah, and Trevor Siemian has absolutely maximized his talent, so I don't want to disparage him too much. And he's a guy who can't start in the NFL and be effective, but he's not someone who can carry an offense. And when you look up and down that depth chart, there just isn't a player outside of the quarterback position for them, at least since Peyton Manning left, that really changes things for them, that can really win a game. Demaryius Thomas is a very, very good receiver. He's not a game breaker. Same thing with Emmanuel Sanders. That offensive line is improving, and maybe the run game becomes more effective as a result. But CJ Anderson is not going to carry you through the playoffs the way that Terrell Davis did, you know, several decades ago for this team. I think that this is an offense that is going to be just a smidge not effective enough to carry that team, even though the defense should be very effective again.
And then the Chargers, well, I'm doing a story for SOE where I'm going to go to their first home game because they're playing in a soccer arena, which I think is a soccer stadium, which I think is absolutely fascinating. The idea that the Los Angeles Chargers will be playing NFL games at a home stadium that's smaller than where South Alabama and Troy play. It really just kind of blows me away. But it's funny, for all the, I think you can certainly criticize the NFL quite a bit and certainly criticize the owners of the Chargers quite a bit for what's brought them to L.A. And we saw how kind of rough the Rams' first year was in Los Angeles, both on and off the field. But the Chargers actually seem like a sleeper kind of talent team. They've got a lot of talent in this team, and they're in a weird spot off the field, but I think they're kind of interesting on the field.
Yeah, this description actually fits them pretty much any one of the last 3 years, right? Like, when this team is healthy, it looks really dangerous. Phillip Rivers is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. The offensive line, again, when it's healthy, looks competent, and they have good receivers. And then, of course, everybody gets hurt, and then this discussion is moot. So we've already seen several of these players go down. That offensive line has already lost multiple players to injury. Not a great start, considering that week one is still days away. I think if they can somehow avoid major injuries going forward, they can win this division. That is how good that offense can be. That is how good that defense has become. But I just don't have the faith that they're going to stay healthy. I mean, every year I think they can't be this unlucky again. And then it happens. At some point you have to just accept it as a fait accompli that this team is just going to be the walking wounded by the time we hit October, let alone December.
All right, so who do you have winning this division?
I think it's going to be the Chiefs. They still have a lot to figure out on offense, and it's not just the quarterback position. Tyreek Hill is heading into the year as their number one receiver, and I'm not sure he knows how to play the position, even though he's extremely talented. But that defense looks ferocious. If they figure out anything with that run game, and especially if they make some adjustments with the passing game, whether that's actually a quarterback or just schematic things to make it more effective, I think that they can win this division by a couple of games, you know, compete with the Steelers for that other great team in the AFC, and then we'll see what happens in the postseason.
And then who do you have? You have one wild card spot left. Which team from this division gets it?
I think it'll be the Raiders. They have a lot of players who they can't afford to lose, but guys who rarely do miss time, I think that helps them. And if Marshawn Lynch is even, let's just say, 80% of what he was in 2014, not 2015, that last version of Marshawn Lynch we saw was slow, broken down. Maybe the time off the field has really helped him recover, but if that running game is even decent, then that offense can be one of the five best in the league, and that's enough to get them a wild card spot in the AFC.
All right, let's go over the NFC and start with the NFC West. Let's go backward there. We'll start with Seattle. Obviously, the ongoing issue of their offensive line. It's really kind of strange that the team is this good and has this much, makes the playoffs every year and has this bad of an offensive line. Is this the year that catches up with them, or is the division it seems like there's two pretty rough teams at the bottom, particularly one really bad team at the bottom. Can Seattle overcome that? Do they have any room for improvement on the offensive line, or are they going to be dealing with this just like they did last year?
It might be a situation where they go through a stretch where that offense just looks like trash because they can't protect Russell Wilson, but I think they'll figure it out again. This is a bad offensive line, but even before they lost their left tackle, it was going to be a bad offensive line. They knew that going in, and they have enough going for them on offense, and Russell Wilson's mobility helps in this regard, that they can sort of scheme around it, circumvent some of those issues. It may keep them from winning a Super Bowl, but I don't think it's going to keep them out of the playoffs.
Okay, going here, my buzzsaw that is the Arizona Cardinals. It's strange. It's always strange to me. This is kind of a baseball thing when a older team that has disappointed the year before kind of has a one last rodeo feel for them, where let's get the band back together and give it one last chance. It has that feel a little bit. There were a couple times last year where you thought it was going to be Fitzgerald's last year and Palmer was really struggling. He came along a little bit at the end. Obviously, David Johnson is the center point of this team. Is this team, it still feels like David Johnson is awesome and the defense could be all right, but they're surrounded by a bunch of old guys. They don't have the receivers that maybe they used to, that they had in the past. Does this still seem like a potential playoff team to you?
Yeah, they're definitely a team that could make the playoffs. And a lot of it, as with many of these teams, hinges on that quarterback position. Palmer, over the course of 2016, was a very disappointing player. But down the stretch, he actually kind of regained that form he showed in 2015 when he was getting some MVP buzz. If he can be some version of that, we're not talking about a guy who's going to break open games, but a guy who's going to have, you know, a 4-1 or better touchdown interception ratio, and he had 6-1 those last three games of the season. He played very, very well. And a guy who's going to largely avoid the big mistake, then this is a team that can make a lot of noise. The defense maybe takes a step back without Calais Campbell, but they still have a lot of talent there. I like the addition of Hassan Reddick, their first-round pick. There's just a lot of speed. It's a very smartly run team. And again, if we see any kind of reasonable degrade from the Seattle Seahawks, that division could be up for grabs. I don't think that's going to happen, but the Cardinals are capable of making it so.
The Rams, things really can't go as bad as possibly bad as last year, not just for the team, but for Goff himself. As a Todd Gurley booster, I'd like to see him unleashed, but they need something, anything out of that quarterback position. Can they at least be a little better this year, kind of released from kind of the downward spiral as that thing got going last year?
I mean, they can be. I'm going to actually push back on your premise here. I think this team could be worse. They have a first-time head coach, and not just any first-time head coach. This guy is barely older than I am, and I'm not even 30 yet.
Right.
So I feel like there's a lot of moving parts here that could go right. I mean, they're definitely a team that has some talent. They're not absolutely at the bottom of the barrel in that regard. But first-time head coach, a defense that, as of right now, does not have Aaron Donald, the best player on that team, that's worrisome. He's going to come back at some point in all likelihood because he doesn't want to miss that accrued year. But, you know, if he misses a month of the season, you know, whatever little wiggle room this team had is gone. Todd Gurley had a very good year as a rookie, but it was one of those years where you saw a lot of 2-yard runs, 3-yard runs, and then like a 30-yard run. And that would really make those overall numbers look great when maybe he wasn't playing super well. And I think those issues really manifested last year. The offensive line might be a little better, but I'm not sure that it's all that different. And I'm not sure Gurley's going to play all that much better as a result. So I think this team could be about the same record-wise as it was last year, and that wasn't a very good mark. They finished with one of the worst records in the NFL. It could be a little worse even. I'm just not optimistic.
But they're still going to be better than San Francisco, right?
Yes, probably. I think so.
You know, it's funny because they obviously they're doing a let's clear out. We've got a lot of stuff to kind of clean up over the last couple of years. They've got a staff with like what 6-year contracts. Are they just doing the what the Browns did last year? Are they just they're just gonna have a year to figure out what they're gonna do and not tank, but certainly not be that upset by losing.
It kind of feels that way, right? Like they had a very good draft, at least in terms of the process. They were able to get the players they wanted at 2, at 3, picked up some extra picks in the deal with the Chicago Bears, and they kept making deals like that. Now, those players not necessarily all going to work out. That almost never happens. But if they're able to secure their lead pass rusher in this draft and some good offensive pieces, that's enough to call it a successful year because they're just in a division that seems unwinnable for them. They're in a situation where they're still trying to shed some of those contracts from the last regime, the last few regimes. But a year or two from now, if they restock the pantry appropriately, they could make noise in the NFC, maybe be one of those better teams, maybe take that leap that we saw those first few seasons with Jim Harbaugh.
All right. So you have, it sounds like you have Seattle winning this division. Do you have Arizona as a wildcard team or not?
I think they are just going to miss the cut, which is a shame because I really want to see that team at least have one last playoff run. Bruce Arians is just so fun. That offense is so fun that it would kind of be a shame if we just didn't see this team make it back.
Yeah, it would make me sad personally too. We go to the NFC South. This, I guess, probably as close as we have, maybe the NFC East is like that a little bit, to the AFC West of no real horrible teams. But to me, there's still two solid teams. You know, it's funny, if the Falcons hadn't have gone on that run last year, you would almost feel like Carolina would be the hot pick just because they had a weird bounce back last year. But like a lot of those guys are still back. Can Carolina challenge Atlanta for the division this year? Or is this still without Shanahan, without after that Super Bowl, the Falcons take a step back?
Well, the Panthers can definitely challenge them. They were a 15-1 team 2 years ago, and most of those pieces remain in place. Cam Newton dealt with some lingering injury issues throughout last season, but it seems like he's healthy now, despite having barely played in the preseason. You know, if that offense is even, let's just say, 80% of what it was in 2015 when they were one of the best in the league, and that defense is even kind of what it was the last 2 years, that's a team that's going to compete for a wild card spot and probably the division. The Falcons, you mentioned the loss of Kyle Shanahan. I think that's the biggest non-player loss of any team in the NFL since last year. He was such an effective play caller, so creative, knew when to call things outside of maybe the second half of the Super Bowl. They're going to probably experience some regression, but that defense might actually improve so much more that they're a better overall team. Vic Beasley, we saw him break out last year, but there's so much more speed on that defense. They added Dontari Poe right in the middle to anchor that defensive line. I like a lot of what they have going for them. So the Falcons still seem like the cream of the crop there. The Panthers, I think, are going to bounce back at least a fair amount, and that's going to make up the top half of that division in my eyes.
But I know that Winston wants to be there's an idea that Winston is about to make that step forward, becoming that top tier. Do they have to have that happen? They've gotten some more weapons. Do they have to have that happen to be a playoff team?
They do, and I think James Winston is a little further away from that than maybe Hard Knocks has portrayed him. I don't think he's on the verge of being an elite quarterback. I think he's on the verge to maybe being into that discussion if things go well. And that's an offense that does have a lot of weapons. I mean, Mike Evans is one of the best receivers in the league. DeSean Jackson, one of its best deep threats. They added O.J. Howard. A rookie tight end is always going to be a weird proposition. You don't know how much they're going to contribute right away. But by the end of the season, he might be very effective. He's one of the most athletic and well-rounded rookie tight ends we've seen come in the league in some time. So there's definitely a recipe for success here if Winston makes that leap. I think he's going to improve. I just don't know if he's going to improve enough to make that offense as good as they expect it to be.
It's funny. I think after New Orleans won the Super Bowl, It didn't really matter what the Saints did for the next 10 years. You just kind of watch Breeze. He's always going to be a little unappreciated. It's amazing how I think on the pace he's on, if he can stay healthy for the next 3 or 4 years, he could pass all of even last next 2 years could pass all of Manning's records. Is there anything to watch with the Saints other than to see how Adrian Peterson looks and watching Drew Breeze continue to do things that are a little bit crazy?
I mean, we need to see that defense be anything other than hot garbage, because that's what it's been, honestly, since they won the Super Bowl. And that wasn't even a great defense the year they won in 2009. This is a unit that has, over the course of the last 5 years, been one of the worst units in the DVOA era. I think they're going to take a couple of steps in a positive direction, but I still think it's going to finish with one of the five worst marks. That's just not enough for this team. The offense is going to be effective with Drew Brees. It's going to be effective with almost whoever they put at receiver. Michael Thomas, however, looks like he could be one of the better receivers in the league, and maybe he'll make that leap this year. But that running game, I don't like what they have. That's an offensive line that doesn't really block well for that. Mark Ingram has been an okay runner at times, but never a great one. I don't think Adrian Peterson is that guy anymore, or even, you know, a shell of that. I think he's really two deviations beyond. And Alvin Kamara might be interesting in certain situations, but I don't think they're going to lean on him that much early. The offense, again, overall is going to be very good. I just don't know that it's going to be good enough to overcome that bad defense.
And so I'll go ahead and make your picks, because we talked about the Falcons and the Panthers. Do you have the Falcons win this division? Do you have the Panthers as a playoff team?
Yes to both.
All right, fair enough. Good. That's what I thought. I was listening. All right, then we go to the NFC North. The Bears. It's funny. I didn't argue it so much this, but my preview for the NFC North. The thing is, you can almost understand the Trubisky decision and you can understand the Glennon decision separately of one another. But when you do them both at the same time for a league that's shown how the quarterbacks run everything, is there a method to it, or do they just kind of get caught behind?
It's bad process, if nothing else, right? Like, exactly what you said. Like, you can understand a team acquiring Mike Glennon, maybe not for the contract the Bears gave him, but you can understand why they would want to bring him in, especially when they're trying to move on from Jay Cutler. It's not necessarily about getting better. It's about being different than you were before. The Mitch Trubisky situation is also interesting. He's played so well in the preseason that it makes the Mike Glennon contract, already questionable, look even worse. So I don't know if that's ultimately going to matter that much. The Bears are not competing for anything this year, and they're probably not going to next year. So that contract's probably not going to impact them all that much. But it just seems like they're throwing a bunch of ideas on the wall and seeing what sticks, and maybe not hitting on enough of them.
Okay, and then the Packers, obviously, Aaron Rodgers in full cool guy mode right now. Everybody loves some Aaron Rodgers. But this is still a team that, as great as he's been, has never... You feel like they've almost not given him enough around him. Is that accurate, as great as Rodgers is? How does this compare to teams that Rodgers has been the best talent but had to do it all by himself? Does he have more to work with this year?
He does, if their top players stay healthy. They added Martellus Bennett, the tight end formerly of the Patriots, a very valuable weapon, a guy that the Packers offense can really utilize well, both as a pass catcher and as a run blocker. And I think that's going to make a big difference for them, not just in the passing game, but honestly near the goal line, when they need that extra strength to power the ball in. But that offensive line, while at the top level is very good, has almost no depth behind it. They spent a second-round pick a year ago on a left tackle who looks like he may not be long for the NFL. They're going to rely on Kyle Murphy as basically their sixth offensive lineman. If any of these guys get hurt, that offense could fall apart. That is how tenuous that situation is. So, again, if that offensive line stays healthy, could be one of the best offenses in the league, maybe even the best. If they lose any of those guys for a prolonged period of time, that could really just, and that could be like the Jenga piece that you didn't mean to pull.
And then Minnesota, obviously still kind of recovering from Bridgewater's injury. I know that there's still some talk that he may try to come back in the second half of the year, but, you know, it's just a good example of how it felt going into training camp last year. This was a team that was really starting to build something, and there's still a lot of talent here, but, you know, this is still Sam Bradford, who's not a horrible quarterback, but it just feels like the whole thing got derailed a little bit.
Yeah, and the offense kind of looks like the same one we had last year, only with different people playing the roles. Like, that offensive line switched out their tackles, but Riley Reiff and Mike Remmers are not exactly a great bookend tandem. The middle of the offensive line might get better with Pat Elfrin, the offensive lineman from Ohio State. But that's going to be a problem for the run game, and it's almost certainly going to be a problem for Sam Bradford. Part of the reason that he set the completion percentage record is because they were having him throw the shortest passes in the league on a regular basis. And that, you know, that's good for the stat sheet, but it's not exactly great for winning ball games. And I just imagine they're going to have a lot of those problems again this year. The defense could take off. We've been waiting for that big leap, and absolutely 2017 could be that time. But if it doesn't happen, this is another team that looks like it's going to be maybe really competitive, you know, one of every three games, and just looks like they don't know what they're doing the other two.
And then Detroit, possibly the worst playoff team of recent vintage to sneak in last year. Is there a reason?
Oh, not possibly. That is something I can say with confidence.
To be fair, they said that about the Arizona Cardinals the year they went to the Super Bowl. So you never know when things can happen. But yeah, that was a pretty uninspiring team. Will they be better or worse this year, and will it even matter?
Well, they could actually be better as a team, but that record is almost certainly going to regress. They had, I believe, the 31st of defense by DVOA. It is extremely difficult to make it to the playoffs or even come close to winning 50% of your games with that poor of a unit. The offense really got a boost the last couple of years when they went to Jim Bob Cooter as offensive coordinator, but it's still not a very effective unit. It's just better than it had been in the past under Joe Lombardi. So maybe Matthew Stafford takes that leap. We saw it happen last year with Matt Ryan, a guy who we thought was a really good quarterback, maybe not a great one, and then he figures it out under the right situation. That could happen in Detroit, but anything short of that, I think this team is going to fall under 500 and be out of the playoff picture.
So you've got the Packers winning this division. Do you have any other playoff teams?
I find Minnesota intriguing, but I just don't think they have enough on offense. Unless Dalvin Cook, another name we should throw out there, unless he turns into a monster as a rookie, I just don't think they have enough.
All right, and we go to the NFC East. Last year, the Cowboys were the revelation. It still feels like they could be just a little bit worse talent-wise, achievement-wise, and a lot worse record-wise, particularly with Elliott's suspension. Though, again, who knows? It's possible while we're talking that situation can have changing. Certainly what Dallas did was very impressive, a disappointment what happened in the playoffs. Do you see them taking a step back this year?
I don't really see them taking a step back. Even if the record regresses a little bit, I think this team is going to be about as good, maybe even a little better. Elliott can miss time. We know that as we're recording this, we don't know if he's going to have his suspension reduced, if it's not going to be reduced at all, if he's going to sue. All of these things are up in the air. But to the degree that a team can afford to lose a player like Ezekiel Elliott, the Dallas Cowboys are set up for it. That offensive line still looks like the best in the league, certainly in run blocking. You know, they have Darren McFadden, Alfred Morris, and some other guys that they can use, not to be Ezekiel Elliott, but to have an effective run game. And Dak Prescott doesn't look like he's going to have that sophomore slump. It looks like he actually has improved. And if they have the quarterback position right, that offense can be more than effective enough to carry them. The defense remains the question with them, but I don't think it's a terrible unit. I just think it's one that probably needs a little more juice off the edge.
How about the Giants? You know, it's funny, last year heading into the playoffs, particularly that game with the Packers, it felt like if they were the hottest, Giants may have been the hottest team in football last year. I think you saw, I remember when everyone was doing the who can stop the Patriots, a couple people were like, well, maybe it's the Giants again. But, you know, then that didn't quite pay off for them in the playoffs. What do you expect out of them this year? Can they kind of keep that going, or is this a different team?
I think it's really going to depend on that offensive line. They have the weapons on offense. I like Paul Perkins in the backfield. He's a good pass-catching back that really makes sense for what they want to do. Brandon Marshall is a very interesting move-the-sticks kind of receiver for that unit. And we all know what Odell Beckham is. It's all going to depend on whether Eli Manning gets enough time to throw his passes without getting molested by every defensive player on the field. Ereck Flowers is going to make that a really rough proposition for the Giants. That unit has just not been effective since, you know, David Deal and those, you know, Super Bowl units. I think that's ultimately what's going to keep this offense from being good again. They could break out big plays last year, but outside of that, they were really struggling to get first downs. I think we're going to see a lot of that again this year, maybe with a little more juice down the stretch with a player like Brandon Marshall playing more of a role in December.
Then when you look at Washington, obviously the Cousins situation appears to have been mishandled in every possible way, except for the possibility that maybe he has an amazing year this year to get himself set for next year. They benefit this year, if not in the future. Can they benefit this year? Does he have to be superhuman for them to stay and contend, regardless of whatever happens with him and this team next year?
I guess they have to, right? Like, they lost so many weapons on that offense. Pierre Garçon is gone. DeSean Jackson is gone. I like the addition of Terrell Pryor, especially on the contract they gave him. And I like Josh Doctson coming out of TCU, but those are new pieces coming into the offense. You don't know how they're going to react. And they also lost their offensive coordinator, Sean McVay, to the Los Angeles Rams. So I really feel like there's just so many moving parts here. It's hard to really get a feel for what they're going to be like. Kirk Cousins was great at throwing to open receivers. And I don't mean that disparagingly. Like, there are quarterbacks who can't do that. And Kirk Cousins identifies the right receiver most of the time and gets him the ball. But he needs to be more than that now. That they are relying on him to be a real field-tilting quarterback. He hasn't really had to be that often in the past. I think it's possible, but I'm not betting on it.
And Carson Wentz got Philadelphia fans all excited at the beginning of last year before kind of regressing a little bit. But obviously, it does seem like they have their quarterback. Do they have enough outside of that?
On offense, maybe. They added a lot of nice pieces in Alshon Jeffery and Torrey Smith, and the offensive line still looks like it's going to be effective. I think that unit overall is probably going to be middle of the road. However, that defense could be the best in the league, bar none. It has so much talent, especially along the defensive line. Jim Schwartz is maybe one of the more underrated, if not the most underrated, coordinators in the league. That defense, I think, can carry a team to the playoffs in a winnable division, which the NFC East is. And if the offense is even just slightly above average, that's a team that can contend for maybe even a 3-second seed. It could be a very interesting team.
All right, so who do you have winning the division, and who do you have making the playoffs out of this division?
I still think Dallas is the cream of the crop. I know betting on Dallas to do well in back-to-back years has not worked out super well, but I do think they're going to pull it off. And if pressed, it comes down to the Giants and the Eagles for me. And I've gone back and forth. In this moment, I kind of like the Eagles more.
All right. So, okay. So now three last questions, because this has been very good, but I only have three more for you. Give me three. One, who's the MVP? And then who's playing the Super Bowl? So that's two questions, but with, you know, three different answers.
MVP is such a narrative discussion. It's not always the best player. It's who was a really good player who had the best story. I think this could be the year that we see it from someone like Matthew Stafford, if he does put it all together. I said that, I didn't think it was going to happen earlier in the discussion, but if he does, he's absolutely the kind of guy who has the narrative to win it. It could be also a guy like Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, just great quarterbacks having another great year. I would say some grouping like that makes the most sense to me. And I'll throw in Dak Prescott too.
Okay. And Super Bowl. Give me a Super Bowl. And who wins?
I'm going to go with a repeat of Super Bowl 31, the New England Patriots and the Green Bay Packers. And it is hard for me to pick anyone but New England at this point. They finished last season at the top of the pack, and they've gotten better. Unless Tom Brady goes down and Bill Belichick like loses the keys to his car and can't make it to the stadium, that team should win pretty much all of its games.
All right. So that, I'm excited. Thursday night, Kansas City, New England. Should be exciting. I'm, as always, the NFL fills me full of conflicting emotions, but ultimately I can't miss a freaking game. Jason, your stuff is awesome. We love having you on Sports on Earth. You're obviously talking to you. I just can just sit and say, hey, this, and you can just go on. So thank you for that. And my last question for you, Illinois, Western Kentucky, our Fighting Illini, Illinois, Western Kentucky on Saturday. I think there's a window to win 4 or 5 games for Illinois this year, but I feel like this has to be one of them. Are they going to lose?
The only saving grace here is that it's so early in the season that the new coaching staff maybe doesn't have everything figured out. So there's a chance. I'm not terribly optimistic. I think Illinois is going to take their first L.
All right, fine. Never mind. I'm canceling this call. We're not posting this podcast. Screw it. All right. Thanks, man. As always, make sure to follow Jason on Twitter at @BY_JBH. Your stuff is great, and read him all on Sports Network. Thanks for taking the time, sir. As always, a great chat.
Thanks for having me, Will.
All right, be safe. We'll be back next week with probably Allison Futter to talk some baseball stuff. But enjoy the games this week. It's gonna be a blast. The NFL has returned better and mostly better. Some worse, but mostly better. Have a great week, everyone. Talk to you next week.